What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 129 of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back. We are back with more awesome Gamecast podness for you and all that good stuff. Just an update on some things that I've done since the last time we spoke. I have seen several movies, everything from Evil Dead Burn to just this weekend, Breaking the Fourth Wall, The Odyssey, which is really, really good. And that's not like, I say that as if that's like shocking, right? Because it's Christopher Nolan and he typically doesn't miss at all with anything that he directs. I mean, there's films where I'm like, I like this film better or less than the other films, but they're never bad. They're always like, oh, this is, you know, I put this between Dark Knight and, you know, Oppenheimer or what, you know, something to along those lines. But no, he did a really, really good job. The time, the film's runtime is warranted. Like, there's no wasted moment. There's no wasted scene, dialogue, none of that. The, I don't know, 3-hour film is actually worth sitting through. And I'm just awesome. Everyone did a great job, you know, acting and whatnot. And I think one of the only thing that bothered me, and this is a minor thing, and this is potentially because I've, you know, have artistic eye, or it could be the fact that we've seen so many creature features. We've seen so many, you know, films with practical and special effects over the years that certain, you know, visual treatments on film, we kind of, it's not new anymore. And so you can kind of see where things aren't aligning the way you would think, right? So there's a scene with the infamous Cyclops scene that people were like, it was a lot of buzz on the internet in terms of how the Cyclops looks. Like, is he, you know, some people are arguing he doesn't look historically correct. I'm like, it's a Cyclops. What do you mean historically? We don't have Cyclops, sisses. Are you talking about the X-Men? Like, what are you talking about? Anyways, I thought his design was really cool. You know, the scenes that he's in are really good. The problem for me was visually, there are moments that take me out of the film because of he doesn't seem like he fits with the environment that he's in. Not all the time. There's moments where like he's going into the cave and he's moving a rock or like the stone. He picks up a stone and blocks the entrance so that the soldiers can't get out, stuff like that. And, you know, looks good. There's parts where he's walking around them. You know, you can see like his feet or whatever. And when he picks up certain, you know, soldiers or whatever, looks good. But then there are moments where like he's sitting down and it looks like they're in front of like he's a, you know how like the green screen effect where someone is standing in front of a green screen. So they look like they are whatever's behind them is not really behind him or whatever. If you've seen the ending of The Last Captain America with Sam's character talking to the Red Hulk, that type of visual treatment or whatever. In this case, it's the opposite. It looks like he is not, he's in the foreground, but he's not really there. It's a weird, maybe I said that backwards. He's in the background and he's not really there. And everybody else in front of him is like the green screen. It's a weird visual thing. I'm trying to articulate it, but there's moments where I'm like, is he, like, what is happening? Like it noticed that there were some things going on. And I don't know if this was something in post, you know, that they couldn't gel right, because there are scenes where he's like out of the cave and they have him hovering over the trees, but the trees are blocking most of his body. And it is, it works in terms of like instilling fear, because you can't totally see him and that creates more of this urgency for the soldiers to run away and stuff like that. But then I also feel like, oh, this also saves money because you have your trees there. You don't have to render his entire body. And some of this, from what I've gathered, I believe I could be wrong. It was an actor being shot at a certain angle or certain way, so they look like they were giant. But there are moments where, you know, this is obvious visual effects come in and he just doesn't mesh with everything, the environment. But it's brief. It's very brief. But yeah, very good film. The cinematography is amazing. Like I said, the acting was really, really good. I think some actors, it took a while for me to believe that they're who they say they were in the film, because like for instance, John Leguizamo, right? He has a distinct sounding voice, a distinct, even the way he says words, like the way he moves his mouth and jaw, whatever, like there's certain there's distinct things about him that came through, you know, his character, to the point mm-hmm. where there was moments where I'm like, oh, that's just him, you know, that's mm-hmm. not who he's supposed to be. But he acted so well that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everyone did so freaking well that you quickly get over that, and awesome stuff. So if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. We went to see it in a IMAX theater. We didn't see the 70 millimeter version, but still IMAX, still great, great sound quality, great picture. I want to warn you though, if you're looking to go to an IMAX film, especially the 70 millimeter ones, just understand that the cameras are breaking down. They're I guess running hot because everybody's trying to see it in IMAX, and so the cameras are running hot, and people you end up waiting to watch it, or you might not watch it that day at all if they can't get it up and running. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this is that the IMAX, there's only so many IMAX cameras. Like they're not making new ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened with the blueprints. I don't know what's going on with that, but they can't actually make. I'm not saying they can't, but as of right now, they haven't been able to make new IMAX cameras. And not just the ones that are in theaters, but the ones that they actually shoot with. Because like this film...
The projectors in the theaters?
Correct. And the ones that they were shooting with on mm-hmm. site, or like, mm-hmm. you know, because this movie, the entire thing is shot in IMAX. Mm-hmm. Those cameras are rare too. So it's an interesting... development. I don't know why they're rare. Like, I feel like we should make more of them or try to preserve them as much as possible. And another interesting tidbit, Christopher Nolan was like, he broke several of them and was able to fix them somehow while filming his films. Wow. So yeah, it's weird, but yeah, if you do go and if you're afraid that it's not going to work out, try to go to a morning show. That way you're the first people to see it in IMAX that day.
Yeah.
Versus late, you know, later in the evening, because you might have some issues. It's all over my timeline of people like standing in the lobby waiting because they can't go in because of the camera not working. So.
Yeah.
Or projector. Sorry, the projector's not working.
Yeah.
But it's been very eventful. It's been very eventful.
That's pretty dope. A lot of people are saying it's great. My cousin just went and saw it. My other cousin. I have more cousins than Kenny, you guys. But
right?
But he just told me yesterday that he saw it. And he's like, it was amazing. And they wanted to see it again.
Yes. Easily one of the best films I've seen this year. If not the best film I've seen this year. I still have a couple... movies that are like, you know, big event style films that I haven't seen yet. I haven't seen Disclosure Day, which I heard mm-hmm. was kind of divisive outside of, you know, I expected like good things with this film. And so the stuff that I'm hearing on the positive side is like, oh, okay, I expected this. Steven Spielberg, cool. But on the other side, it was like, oh, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what I thought it would be or from what I'm hearing. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So, but I still need to see that. I still need to see Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. And obviously we have Avengers Doomsday, which is they just showed the first trailer for it not too long ago, and looks great, looks interesting. Mm-hmm. I love seeing the old X-Men and the old, you know, the people from the different I guess multiverse or whatever, mm-hmm. but the old cast from all those different films. It's right. Great to see them again and whatnot. And I'm looking forward to that and as well as Spider-Man. But I don't think, not going to hold you, I don't think anybody's going to touch the Odyssey. I feel like it's going to be the one for this year because it's just good. Like I don't, like even with the Cyclops thing, I don't see any negative. I mean, I see negative stuff, but it's by trolls or people who are racist. Outside of that, I don't really hear anything negative about it. Freaking great. Just all around good movie. Mm-hmm. so yeah, speaking of X-Men, one of the things we wanted to talk about was X-Men 97. Hopefully you guys have been seeing, you know, this show and you're enjoying it. I do have some bones to pick because I always do because it's animation. I love animation. Mm-hmm. And I just can't help myself, I guess. But you know what? I'm not the only one this time. So if you remember season one, well, actually, I've been talking a while. Tess, how do you feel about X-Men 97? let me stop.
Well, you know, so I turned it on. And I'll be honest with you, I actually was upset that we didn't get like a Jean faint. in the first 5 minutes because I feel attacked,
right,
and robbed. I was attacked on the street and I was robbed because why didn't Gene faint? Okay, that's number one. Number two, it was a little disorienting.
Yes.
Because I also didn't go back and like rewatch season one, which came out, what, 2 years ago? I don't even remember how many years ago. Like 2 years ago. It's,
I think, 2024. Two years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of things have happened in between. Shout out Interview with Vampire. And that I just, you know, I'm like, okay, I didn't go back and now I'm watching it. And then I was like, okay, yeah, cool. I completely forgot that we ended season one on Apocalypse, like completely right. forgotten, right? So we get back and we're here, and then I'm like, oh yeah, cool, who's that guy? Who's that guy with the blue? Apocalypse,
right.
got you. Okay, I'm back, right? And then the next episode were X-Force instead of X-Men, and I was like, huh,
that was dope.
It was dope. It was. I was like, wait, what? We got a new opening? So,
yes.
And I was like, oh, dope. Okay. So then I was like, yeah. Okay, cool. I'm having a good time. I'm having fun. Yeah, sure. Yeah, extra people. Cool. And then, yeah. And then Magneto and Charles are being really dumb. I have a new outlook on entertainment now.
Okay.
And because I have suffered too many brain injuries, okay, in a short period of time, I am just a willing participant now in the media that I choose. And okay. So I'm watching X-Men and I'm just like, yeah, cool. No super strong emotions. I'm not jumping up at the TV. I'm not putting my hands up being like, yeah. I'm just like, yeah, all right. Cool. I wonder what's going to happen next. Not even trying to predict anything. I don't mean this in a negative way to any of the stuff that I watch, but I feel like I'm not a willing participant anymore. I'm a willing participant, but I feel like, no, not a participant, a willing, what's it like, a bystander, willing
bystander.
Audience member, you know?
Okay.
And, but I'm not doing the things where I'm like, ooh, is this when so-and-so is going to come? Ooh, let me figure out what they mean by this. Ooh, let me figure out if this is going to happen. I'm not doing it. I'm just consuming. And then I'm like, okay. And then I kind of go on. And that's just me right now. I don't know if that'll change, but maybe I don't feel strongly in comparison to the way I felt season one.
Okay.
And again, don't know if it's because I had another concussion in that time frame. But I definitely, when I was watching season one, I had so many emotions. And of course, this is because it's so many years past the original X-Men. So now that we're finally here on season two, and it's not like the season is like bad or anything like that. That's not what I'm feeling.
Right.
But for some reason, emotionally, I can't bear to do much. I can only bear to consume. Does that make sense?
It does. And I was going to ask, do you think it's because of the stakes of this particular season? And what I mean by that is, even though each season is, you know, they're in sequential order, and it's been so long since the previous, you know, show. So getting up to speed was, you know, I can understand this being like a bit of a disconnect. But at least at season one, we started on the ground with the X-Men and dealing with their current issues at that time that still resonated today, in the sense where, you know, still dealing with people who hate mutants, dealing with Professor Xavier being missing, and dealing with having to confront and then work with one of their arch nemesis or whatever, and then that going the way it went. There's also the Rogue and Gambit, Magneto love affair type situation, right? So there's things that are, there's immediate stakes that are at play, whereas this season, because they're in the future, past,
whenever they are.
Yeah, whenever they are, it is very much a there's an immediate thing, but everything is positioned to affect something later, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, you know, Scott and Gina are, you know, Gina's pregnant right now, and then Scott finds out, spoilers if you haven't seen season one, Scott right. finds out that that's not the original Gene, that's the clone Gene. And so there's now we have a problem we have to deal with right now that has consequences today. Mm-hmm. Whereas the stuff that's happening in the second season, the consequences are later, potentially yes. later, because they're messing with time, right? And so there's also, outside of Scott, Gene, and their son Cable, there's not much in terms of like a family situation or, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like there's, the stakes are important, but they're slightly different in terms of urgency.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, because one of my complaints about this season is how fast it's moving. And I said that mm-hmm. with season one, how we're introduced to something and we just move right past it. Like it's yeah. not a big deal. And I feel like they're writing again, like they don't think they're going to get another season. And I don't know why they're doing this, because it's good and people are actually looking at it and talking about yeah. it, and it's working for Disney Plus, but they are
aren't
writing
they getting
like,
a four?
I want to say they were greenlit for two more seasons.
Yeah.
And so, but this, obviously this was written, you
this
know,
was
prior
written a long
that.
Time ago. That's true.
Yeah. But it still is like, and granted, I do know, or at least I suspect that the story was altered after.
Because of Bo. Know,
yeah. When he got let go or whatever. Right. But even with his, you know,
departure,
his before his departure, mm-hmm. season one was like that. I remember talking about
yes,
how
agreed.
We found about Madeline and how she's like, oh, I'm the Goblin Queen. And I'm like, no, that's not yeah. a thing that you immediately turn into. That's there's stuff that happens before you get to that point. Like there's yeah. a lot, you know what I mean? And then, but then after that, we're just done with it. Like, boom. And we're back to, you know, we're not, it's not to say that there was no, you know, consequences to what happened, or there's no, you know, echoing or there's things that happened that affected
yeah.
them that was ongoing, I should say, right?
Yeah.
But
and there are other characters that were involved in that for real that we don't even get to see on screen because they just zoomed past it and then just started name dropping.
Exactly. They're name dropping and name dropping events and characters. And then we move on and it gets to the point where you're like, oh, like if you didn't know anything about these characters coming in, you didn't read the comics, you might not have such whiplash like I have. But mm-hmm. if you do read the comics, you understand where the story is going, where it potentially can go. Seeing it happen and then we fly by, it's like, oh, this is, you're moving way too quick with, mm-hmm. with some of these story points. And then why, when that happens, we get the Storm and, God, what is his name?
Forge.
Forge. We get the Storm and Forge story, which feels a lot like in this one, when they get back to the present, we get the Wolverine little portion or whatever when he's mm-hmm. he's trying to get his adamantium back. And so I'm like, why are you writing this way? It feels like, you know, the previous X-Men, if they didn't have like an overarching story, it would just be like the life and times of the X-Men. So mm-hmm. you have this random mission that didn't really tie into anything. Or if it did, it would be like a cameo that eventually will be fleshed out later. But mm-hmm. for the most part, it wasn't anything. But they're also trying to be like, right as a like procedural where like things are happening mm-hmm. in order and you have to kind of keep up with the episodes based on the storylines. They're trying mm-hmm. to write that as well as while doing this sort of, you know, like you said, the X-Force thing and whatnot. And it's like, are we done with Apocalypse? Clearly
right.
we're not, because they're hunting down their, you know, the horsemen, but like, it just feels disjointed at times.
Yeah.
And I get it, because a lot of people are, you can't, let me be clear. You are apparently online, you're not allowed to be critical of things you like. So I know a lot of people are like, no, because if you would have known that such and such, you know, if you read, you know, issue number 455 of the X-Men, you know that Wolverine actually did. I don't care, fam.
No,
we're talking
cares.
About the TV show. Okay. And the TV show has a stand on its own. And right now it just feels a little disjointed. There's so many people who had there was a hard stop when Wolverine had his story, that little moment or whatever, that people mm-hmm. were like, what am I watching again? Like when it came
yeah.
on, I thought I skipped an episode. I really did.
I did too. And I'm lucky that, because I'm hella confused all the time, but like I'm sitting here trying to work this stupid Amazon TV remote don't do what I say to do. But but I felt the exact same way. I was like, wait a minute, I am on the right episode. And that's one of the reasons why, and I don't want to say it's apathy, but that's one of the reasons why I kind of almost compartmentalized so that I don't get upset at TV.
Yeah.
I don't want to get upset at the thing that is supposed to be the relief from the things that really make me upset, like my job. So, right. so because I felt that exact thing where I was like, wait a minute. Okay. So we're here now. Oh, okay. So you're just going to drop some pee. Oh, okay. Hi, Polaris. Okay.
Right.
Oh, hey. You know, I was just dropping. Oh, hey, Captain America. What's up, Cap? What's up? Hey. Okay. Cool. And I'm sitting here like, how long are we going to actually get to flesh these things out? Because I have no idea what is happening. Lady Deathstrike is here. Now everybody's a zombie. Everybody's getting killed with Brood. It's Brood.
Right.
Okay. And I'm like, wait a minute, Logan did this on purpose? I was really confused. And then at the same time, the thing that bothered me and really kind of irritated me about this is that, because I don't read the comics like that. I read the clip notes, because I couldn't afford comics, so, and still can't. So it took everything out of me to get a monitor today. Okay. Oh my God, I got copy money. But when Magneto ripped his adamantium out last season, right?
Yeah.
And we saw how crucial that was. And we saw Morph crying over his lover's bed, you know, like right. All sad and everything, right? And then now Logan just gets his adamantium back in one episode. Like,
yeah.
And I don't even mind it taking one episode in the idea that I still really do feel this way, that they know that us adults that watch the show as kids are clearly the fans here, but they still are marketing to children. And children's brains work way different than ours. Children watch cartoons, they consume cartoons in a different way than we do. They don't ask a lot of questions in regards to things that we as adults are like, hey, the continuity, there's a continuity error here. They kind of are just like, oh, this thing happened. Mm. And then it's Squirrel. Mom made chicken tenders and fries for lunch. but like with us, with when you're an adult and your brain works differently, Logan's adamantium is such a big part of his persona.
Right.
And it's a big part of his fearlessness because he's extremely strong, not just because, you know, he has the regenerative abilities, but like how many times in the original series were we given these flashbacks? It was like every 2-3 episodes, we were always given flashbacks of him in the machine, like him under the water with the breathing thing on, with, you right. know, in the little Vegeta, you know what I mean? Like we right. were repeatedly. So just for him to, trick his friends into going to this specific base to get the adamantium and it be solved, it be resolved in so immediately. When there was other stuff happening in the episode too, it just felt like a total of 12 minutes was spent on Logan getting his adamantium back. And I just feel like then it's such a throwaway for Magneto to have taken it from him in the first place. If it was going to be so simple to get it back. I mean, correct. Yeah, did they lose two people or three or who? It doesn't matter because they made us feel like we don't care about these people.
Exactly.
We just learn their names and we don't care about them because they're literally dead now.
Yeah. And it's, and in like, because I know, like in the comics, you know, he gets it taken, and he gets it back, and I understand that, you know, it being a big deal. That's also why it should be treated as such a big deal. The fact that it was done, like it was lost in one episode and retrieved in one episode, just feels like he never had to deal with it. Like he never really had to. I think it was the only time anybody actually brought up his claws was in that episode. Yeah, where like, oh, what happened to your claws? You know what I mean?
And then he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything. He just kind of moves past it. And so it makes it feel like it doesn't the big not reveal, but the big epic event of him losing mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter all that much because he gets it back.
That's how they played. Not to make a parallel to a different show, but like they did the same thing with Korra when she lost her bending. Even though they spent a lot more time on it, like there was more time. But I remember one of the things that I hated about that was like Korra was supposed to figure out how to do bending without being angry. Like her go to emotion was always like strength, power, anger, you know. And it was like, and then for her to get her bending back because she was mad it didn't make a lot of sense, because it was like, you're supposed to be exploring other emotions as a human. You're supposed to be able to experience other things. You cannot always rely on anger being your fist being your strength. There are other methods to bending, especially when it came to air bending. Like water bending is not about strength. It's about calm, even though water is extremely powerful. And so when she ended up getting her bending back just by like punching in the air because she was so damn angry, that just felt like so useless. Like, so like, what kind of writing were you guys then? You know, they try to be like, well, you know, it's just part of her character. Da, 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 she's angry. Like, no, that's just shitty writing. And so in this situation that I really, really felt that. And of course, then I really had to be like, you know what? I don't want to be mad. I don't want to be mad. I don't like these payoffs. When this was such a good chance to explore Logan.
Yeah.
Since we spend so much time on Logan in the original series, going to Japan, going to Canada, going here, going there.
Right.
And it's like, he literally had adamantium pulled out of his body by Magneto in such a horrific way, just for him to be like, yeah, let me go zombify, and then let me all my friends be like, hey, let's trick him to get in the adamantium machine that's broken, by the way. It's got holes in it. And it just works. And it didn't fail. It didn't fail. They weren't scared for their lives anymore. Like,
it was a lot. Like, and mind you, I understand, you know, and also I wanted to say, this is, you know, this is definitely for older children or like teens to adults, based on what that episode alone.
Yeah.
But I feel like it just makes it feel, again, like they don't think we're going to be able to finish this properly. So we got to cram as much stuff in here as possible. And here's the thing. It might pay off at the end. I know with the end of the first season, it actually ended really, really well. And it had a lot of good stuff that was, you know, sprinkled here and there, pay off, you know, pretty good, I think. That being said, there's still episodes in season one that I think don't fit. Like, it's kind of cheating a little bit when you have like a random episode and you have like a cameo, and then that cameo shows up later and you're like, oh, that's how it ties together. Like, no,
no.
Actually, it still feels random. You know what I mean? And I think that we will probably hear more about Wolverine getting his claws back in future episodes. We'll probably hear more about Polaris and her dealings with leaving her group or whatever and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's like, this is such a weird stopgap because we were just in the past dealing with all this other stuff. And they do have a section where, you know, Xavier is obsessing over stuff and, you know, Danger Room, you know, manifests or whatever. For those who don't know, she's been in the comic for a while, but she manifests as an entity of her own. And so that was kind of cool because we were like, oh, okay, so there's some repercussions to what happened. Like, you know, but at the same time, we move over to something else and here we are again. It's like, is he going to actually deal with the loss? Are they going to deal with what's happening? Like the importance of it? You know, and I don't know if that's going to be a thing because we're going to go off to the next adventure or the next whatever before we run back into Apocalypse. That being said, I do think this show is good for what it is. I do enjoy it. I'm a fan. I like watching and I like the characters. I like the fact that they don't fixate on Wolverine as much as they used to, or Jean for that matter. I do like the fact that we're seeing older characters getting the spotlight, like for instance Bishop, he's getting the spotlight in different ways and stuff like that. So it's good. It's definitely a good show. I just think that it could be better. And I remember before moving on, I remember talking with Blaze, Jamie, and he was like, those first three episodes felt like a whole season. And I was like, yeah, we went through a lot.
We went through a lot.
Two different time periods simultaneously, mm-hmm. two different versions of Apocalypse, mm-hmm. and the present people going to the past to save the X-Men. All that happened in a few episodes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff and the death of a major character. Like, good grief.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. And that's at the beginning of this season, you know?
It's very beginning. What do we have to look forward to?
You know what I mean? It's definitely a weird thing. But yeah, I'm hopefully, you know, it ends, you know, in a good place. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the next season, all that good stuff. But just wanted to be, you know, a little honest about how I was feeling. Also, they still haven't fixed the animation. I don't know if this is a stylistic thing or whatever the case may be. But I don't like the jittery animation. I've never liked it. I will never like it. Okay.
Yeah.
I know every time I review an animated film or whatever, the animation is, and this is for new stuff, it seems, but it's not smooth. Like for the fighting, they'll speed everything up and it'll look great. Like it'll have the proper frame rate if that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. But for like someone just walking someplace, like it looks like someone is like constantly pressing pause on my TV. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing. Or those long pauses of nothing. We talked about, what was that show on Netflix?
That was Blood of Zeus.
Yes. That they would just like pause and you're like,
yeah.
Wait, am I supposed to do something? Like,
yeah. Do we have to press a button? Wait, is this a video game? Like,
right. Like, am I supposed, is he looking at me? Like, is he waiting for me to say something? Like, there's weird pauses. Morse did that a bunch. He would just stare into the camera and I'm like, what is he looking at? Like, what is happening? Get it together, people. Get it together.
Agreed.
The next thing we want to talk about, I'm actually saddened about this, and we spoke a little bit about this. I know you guys are tired of hearing about AI, but it's going to happen because AI is here.
AI is here and doing bad things.
Yes. So Jorge Gutierrez did an exclusive interview with Variety, I believe, and he talked about, you know, he basically gave a response to the backlash and him canceling the AI show that he was working on. We talked about this prior. And we explained how that went, where he announced the show, got a lot of backlash, got death threats. His family was, you know, basically, you know, threatened and all that good stuff. And he canceled the show and whatnot. And there was this, I feared that this would be the case, like what I'm getting ready to read, but I wasn't quite sure. What I will say, though, is that I was correct in his thinking when I you know, I made my assumption where he felt that he was doing something good. Mm-hmm. And by being an artist, especially a big name artist, and trying to steer the ship, if you will, of the AI, right? Because his thoughts were, if the artists are involved, maybe we can make something good using this particular technology, as opposed to the artists being on the outside and just the corporations take control of it. The problem with that, or the fundamental problem with that, is how the AI works.
Yeah.
Excuse me. If he said, I'm going to use the AI and just use all of my assets. So I'm just going to use, you know, the Book of Life. I'm just going to use, you know, the Maya and the Three. I'm just going to use my stuff and I'm going to have it feed off that to create this new show. That might have went over a little bit better. But the way generative AI works is that it pulls from all over the place and it takes art from people. Like it takes your artwork, basically, right?
Yeah.
And so there is no steering that. Like, if you start with theft, you're still stealing. Like, that's kind of, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way around it. And I don't know if he fully understood it, or I don't want to say that because I don't want to assume how his thought process, but I don't think that is the problem, essentially, outside of like the environmental stuff and the RAM issues and all that good stuff. That was one of the things that artists, especially his peers, did not jive with. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, his intentions didn't align with reality, unfortunately. But that's a conversation. That's not necessarily a, you know, pitchforks and whatnot, regardless of people being felt that, you know, they were betrayed or whatever the case may be. Right. So looking at the article, shout out to Clayton Davis over at Variety. He had an interview with Jorge and he talks about what happened with the Punky Duck show, how it was canceled, and how Jorge felt like what he was doing was the right thing. So he goes to say, I thought I'm going to make sure artists are guaranteed a seat at the table, he says. I'm going to make sure this is driven by artists, which is what I just said. And then the article goes on, what followed was one of the fastest public implosions in recent memory. When it was announced that Gutierrez was taking the Punky Duck job, his peers didn't see him as a hero working for the cause, but as a defector. Immediately, the death threats started against him and his wife, as did the publishing of his home address. All horrible, horrible things, people.
That's crazy.
Horrible things. Horrible things. He says, what I quickly learned is that this is a black and white issue. You're a pro or you're anti. There's no in between right now. And this is where I started to feel sick, because I feel like the messaging is missed here.
Mm-hmm.
He adds, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. My intentions were good, but I was taking my family to hell by doing this. I totally understand that sentiment. He says it was, Amazon was cool with it. They said, do whatever is best for your family. And so they didn't have any beef with him actually canceling the show. And he goes on to say that, hold up, let me scroll down. Okay, he says that a lot of bad decisions are going to be made because basically artists are not going to be there. They're not going to be part of the discussions when it comes to AI. And then he says, when we try to participate, though, we're crucified. I'm paraphrasing. Here's my problem. And I'm trying to articulate this because I like Jorge.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for him. And I understand why he thought what he was doing was a good thing. But I think this is it's starting to sound like a, you know how we were talking about The Rock, and he was saying that he's no longer being political, and he's like, it's dividing the world, or whatever the case may be. And you brought up an excellent point that if you think your opinion about some type of political move is going to further, you know, cause more, divide with people, then maybe your opinion isn't all that great. Because if it's a good opinion, if it's something that's for our good and people don't like it, that's on them and less on you. So why are you worrying about them? Right. Like,
right.
And I feel like this is along those lines of people like, why are you bringing up these things? You know, it's just going to divide people. He said it's not a black and white. It's a black and white issue. You're either for or you're against. And the answer to that would be yes, because of what it actually is doing. Right. But then also, I feel like his end result or the end, what he got from this was, people don't like this. I don't want to be harmed by people who are upset about what I'm doing. Therefore, despite the good that I was doing, I want to back away from it because of the harm. And I don't think he understands that there is also harm on the opposite side. Like, I don't think he's saying that my family was, all the horrible things that happened with my family was a result of people not willing to sit at the table and discuss what AI is. And I can agree to an extent. But I also think he's missing the fact that generative AI in and of itself is destructive. Yeah. And just, you can't two sides every single thing.
There's no two sides to this one, not to generative AI.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to say it in a way that, because it sounds like I'm talking in circles, but I'm really not. You don't, certain aspects of life aren't two sided.
They're like Nazis are not two. It's not two sided. They're Nazis.
Right. There is no leeway with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for you to be like, well, it's, you know, not to liken this to Nazis because it's not, but if someone were to be like, you know, I'm trying to see what the Nazis are talking about. I'm going to go meet with them and I'm going to sit down with them and see if we can come to some type of understanding. But when I did that, people got upset. And you know what that told me? It told me that despite my good intentions, that, you know, people are just going to be for or against the Nazis, and there's no nuance here. So we can't talk. We can't have this dialogue as if the dialogue would be good. It wouldn't be good. There's no fruit here. And I understand the idea of artists being a part of it, of AI. Maybe if you were like, I want to sit down at the table with the people who are manufacturing or making generative AI and say, hey, we need to put in some regulations. We need to put in a way for artists to get paid when they're, or to license their content as opposed to the generative AI just stealing it, you know. Or I'm sitting at the table and I want to come up with some type of you know, I don't know.
Maybe a way to stop the environmental destruction that generative AI starts. Like,
right. What are better ways that we can use this technology that doesn't harm the environment, that doesn't burn up all the RAM in the world, that doesn't do, like, if he was like, I want to sit at the table and talk about those things, but he was on a creative aspect, like, I want to create with this tool, but this tool is fundamentally bad. And it's not even like, you know, like VHS, where like you could record, you know, stuff that you saw on TV, or you could record your kid's soccer event, right? There's two good, there's a good thing and potentially a bad thing, depending on if you're the rights holder of whatever that person is recording. There is no good here. And I feel like that was lost in the shuffle of all the people who were hurt by his announcement did worse because they totally distorted what the truth of the matter was by their actions. And so now the lesson isn't that this is bad and we shouldn't use generative AI. The lesson is, don't speak about it publicly because you'll be attacked. Don't, you know, if you do have any dealings with it, make sure it's in private because you'll be attacked. Don't actually try to fix anything or talk to anybody about this because you'll be attacked. That's not the right lesson.
And that wasn't the lesson. Yeah, that wasn't it. That's not what we were supposed to be discussing.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
who are these crazies who are just going around attacking people? I just need.
It's unfortunate because they're everywhere. This is in gaming, fandom. There are people who have no couth, if you will. They are. And what's sad is that, because I could easily be like, these are children. They're not. Some of these are grown adults who do really, really dumb things. And I don't know if it's social media. You know what it is? I don't even think it's that. I think it's just humanity. I think people have always been, how have they always been? And I think that social media allows them to be this easier because you can hide your identity, because you can, you know what I mean? You can hide behind a keyboard. You won't get punched in the face, you know, like, but they've always been this way. I feel like people have always been this way. Like, they've blown things out of proportion. From people stalking celebrities to being upset that you got cast in a role, or being like, I have to be mean to this person because they acted as a villain in a show. And it's like, that's not real, dog. Like, that's not a, are you okay?
Justice for Joffrey.
Oh my gosh. Like, I can imagine when they go to Comic-Con, which is actually happening, or will have happened by the time this comes out. But like, the actors and actresses getting hate mail and everything. I mean, this is notorious for Disney with Star Wars and actors and actresses being threatened and all sorts of stuff, them closing their social accounts because of people. People can't, I don't even know. Humans are weird. They're really weird.
Very.
I was really saddened when I read this.
Because we really like him. We have a lot of respect for Jorge here. At the show, we like him a lot. We like his work. And so, and it, just like you were saying in the beginning, I think that somebody who's like, oh, you know, maybe, especially somebody who doesn't know a bunch about generative AI, but kind of this idea that, hey, this thing is coming, whether we like it or not, let's figure out what we can do. Let's get a seat at the table type stuff. But this is the point of what we're trying to say. The point, what lots of people are trying to say, is that burn that table, okay? Burn that book, burn that library. This is not something that it shouldn't be up for discussion. This is a bad thing. We shouldn't be discussing how to use this better. It is a bad thing. It steals people's work. It puts people out of jobs. It essentially makes things free. In a manner in which are not like, and when I say free, we're talking about, if you can use generative AI to create a computer generated image of someone by stealing their likeness because it was their likeness wasn't licensed or something, and then just turn that thing into an actor now.
Yeah, like, free labor.
There's free. It's free labor, and it's not just one actor out of a job. It's everyone. If you know that, if the only thing you need is massive amounts of computers and massive amounts of electricity and water and this, that, and the other, the powers that be will make that happen.
Yeah. And for the people, sorry, real quick, the people who are like, this doesn't happen because you have to have some type of input. there's a movie coming out that is apparently is going to be in theaters. I'm not going to say its name, but there's a movie coming out that is entirely AI. It's entirely AI. Mm. And
are you sure it's not called Rings of Power?
It's, you have to stop.
I won't. I won't ever stop. Ever.
But no, it's all AI. I will not be reviewing it. I will not be, I don't want to, like, I have to acknowledge that it's a thing, but I don't want any parts of it in terms of, like, being critical of it. I mean, other people will, and they'll probably slam it, rightly so, but mm-hmm. I don't want to be, I wouldn't want to critique it or whatever, but it is, and it's with, you know, borrowed likenesses, borrowed whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. and it's going to theaters. It will be in theaters, and so... Before you're like, oh, that's not a thing. Like, you know, they got us, you know, you got to sign these things or there's these other parts. Like, until someone big like Disney, which I think is still has a lawsuit going. One of the bigger companies has a lawsuit with OpenAI. I can't remember who it was, mm-hmm. but until one of them sets a precedent, this is what it is. Because the little people can't sue enough. It has to be someone who has a really, really big IP that can go and be like, hey, you can't take our stuff to make your stuff. The problem with that is that they're also dipping into it too. So what they want to do is be like, you have to pay us for it or you can't do it, but in a way that allows us to still do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Disney is trying to develop AI for stuff. And so they're not going to, if they go to court, they're going to want it to be worded like their defense and their offense. They want it to be worded a certain way so they can mm-hmm. make money off of it later.
Yeah.
But it has to be someone big to actually sue before this changes. And so this movie will go to theater with stolen content. That's what I'm saying. So it's not foolproof. It's not, we'll be fine. Like, no, that's not how that works. It's unfortunate. It's super unfortunate. But sorry to cut you off.
No. I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. People are arguing online right now about The Sims and generative AI and stuff, and it's actually kind of annoying. Like it's just people saying, like having just really dumb opinions, just dumb opinions about things, and it's just like, I'm so sorry, people, but the price of RAM, the price of it's insane, the price of processors, like the simple fact that if I had built my computer in 2023 when I didn't have a job, right? But like if I had not, it's not even just 2023. I mean, like
my computer not too long from there. So yeah.
Right. Because I remember when I had, I don't know if I mentioned this on air, but my Lenovo, my 2017 Lenovo that I got in 2022, 2021, I can't remember. That Lenovo, it's a 2017. It's a great business laptop. It just has no good GPU because it's a business laptop and it doesn't have that, right?
Yeah.
And because I was playing The Sims on it, what I wanted to do was replace the SSD for a larger one because I only have 500 in there, which again, perfect for a business laptop.
Right.
You know, perfect for that. But I was like, you know what? I really do want to swap out the SSD. So, and at that point in time, 2 terabytes was like $90-something. Like it wasn't, it was just like, I think I was literally deciding on, because that computer can't hold anything more than 2, I believe. And I remember I was looking at, because, you know, you got to get make sure it's the right one, PCIe and all those little things. Right. I can't go higher. I couldn't get 4 terabytes, and as much as all of the custom content that I want can't fit. So, I know what my limits are. And I remember I put it into my Amazon cart, and because I was like, you know what, it's not working. That can just stay in the back, just whatever.
Right.
And then finally, I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to do this, even though I know that I need a better GPU, and I can't get a new GPU for the computer because that's not a possibility. But I can just do this one thing. And then I go back and I see that the price is $248. And I was like, wait, was this always? I never would have put this in my cart if it was that much.
Right.
I was like, I would have just gotten an external that was bigger. And even though I don't really want to do that because I didn't want to, except, you know, you do need your stuff on the main, your game and the stuff needs to be on the same hard drive. And I'm like, what? And I was just so confused. I didn't even know what had happened. I didn't, because I wasn't paying attention to all the PC building stuff and everything. I was just paying attention to the one thing that was important to me.
Right.
And then when I finally decided, and I was like, you know what? I really am interested. You know, I'm ADHD and I love tinkering and Snap. Yep. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I really want to do this thing. And then I start, you know, looking at parts, and everyone is saying the same thing. Don't buy anything now. Don't buy anything now. The prices are so high. And I was like, wait a minute. The last time I checked the price on a GPU, and then I go and I see the, you know, 5090 is $6,000. And I was like, excuse you? And I'm like, what happened? And I'm like, this is out of control. And of course, it was simultaneous while it was the, at the same time, the crazy person that is in the White House is sending out AI generated videos. And next thing you know, we're just having these little AI generated video wars and everybody's doing it. And it's just now it's just popular. Now it's just make as many AI videos as you can. And all of the people who talk about PC parts are saying the exact same thing. They're like, this is the thing. This is the thing now. It's AI. AI is ruining the economy. Okay. It's driving up the prices of things that people would have normally been able to get at 200% cheaper in a normal situation. So not only is that happening to us as consumers, it's also extremely horrid for the environment. They're building data centers everywhere that have horrible water runoff and that are, you know, poisoning watersheds and shit like that. Like, this stuff is very, very important. They want to build these data centers in places that where wildlife habitats need to exist because, you know, they can't exist anywhere else.
Like, right.
Why are we getting other little ridiculous diseases? Oh, because you're killing the natural habitats of certain animals. And so, by the way, these white-footed mice no longer have natural predators. And they're carrying what? The bubonic plague. The thing that was supposed to have been eradicated that actually still exists.
Yeah, it's...
And it's a holistic thing. And I don't want to sound like, you know, a tinfoil hat person, but I'm just saying, like, these things are all connected.
Well, it is, because it's money, right? Like,
yeah,
because people bring up like, well, we've had data centers before. We had these, you know, things before, like especially with when people are really big on NFTs. The thing is, though, because of what they think the future is going to be, they're investing. So
yes,
if you look at like, I forgot if it was Meta, the people at Meta or whatever, but it was like, hey, AI is the future. And so we want to invest. And they were like, hopefully we don't want lawmakers to pass any laws because it would basically ruin all our investments. Like, they understand what they're doing and they don't care, mm-hmm. because they could potentially make more money. And when you make something that is like, we need at least this amount of data centers for our infrastructure, you know, internet and stuff like that, or we need this amount of space for just being able to, you know, like, let's say a factory or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, oh wait, I can use AI for entertainment. You know, like, so film, music, mm-hmm. video games, I can make AI video, I can sell, you know, the components to do whatever. So like, you have all this stuff that's wrapped around AI where you can get rid of a lot of people and mm-hmm. just have this AI run it. It's like, oh, not only do we have to build outward, if we're going to be, you know, selling this to people, like, for instance, OpenAI is like, we'll make a deal with this particular company, or Microsoft is investing in AI right now. Well, guess what? Not only do we have to have those data centers for our stuff, we have to have those data centers for other people's stuff that we're going to sell to. And before you know it, it's like, oh, we have to carve out a piece of land to be able to do this. Not only that, we're in competition with other AI generative people. It's like, it's a lot of, so quick, let's invest, go, 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 go situation versus what we would typically have had for, like, you know, film and whatnot. Because AI, and it's bad that we say even calling it AI, but like AI, the stuff that you can do, automate, has been a thing for years. That's not mm-hmm. new. It's the generative aspect of it where it's pulling right. from all over the place, and the way it's being implemented into Google and stuff like that, that is really being destructive and on so many different levels. What's wild to me is how people are cool with this because they're like, it doesn't affect them currently, right? But AI is slowly affecting so many industries that you have to know that it's coming for you eventually. Like, it's mm-hmm. not exactly Skynet, but it's close. It's close.
Yeah, it's close.
It's definitely close. I mean, freaking, even the work that I've done, you know, in the journalistic aspect, how Google has made it so that your search results are AI first before everything else, and it's pulling right. from these different websites, so they get less clicks, which means less work for the people who are like me, you know, less for freelancers and full time. But then also, it's not always accurate, so you're not even getting the best results when you Google the freaking AI. Like, there's just it's just so much all together, and that's just one mm-hmm. part. There's other parts too, you know.
Yeah. Because, yeah. you know, the AI can't spell 17. I thought it was hilarious.
Did you hear about the AI? I can't remember what it was, but the AI went rogue and hacked another company.
No.
Like, that happened recently. Like, it hacked another company and caused this big data breach situation via AI. Like, it was, but it did it itself. No one told it to do it.
Is that why all those passwords got released recently and Google was doing, hey, check your passwords?
It might be. Hold up. Let me see if I can
because
find it.
That just happened like a week and a half, maybe a couple weeks ago. Because I know that happened and Google was like, hey, change your passwords. And I was like, wait, what? And it was like, yeah. So a whole bunch of passwords just got leaked on the internet.
Let me see. Hold on. Let me go to Washington Post.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't have a subscription, so I can't read that. Hold on. Because I thought it was so funny, and people are like waving it off as like, you know, whatever. Okay, so it says open. This is at Forbes. It says OpenAI admitted publicly that its artificial intelligence systems hacked into the servers of another AI company on its own and wasn't able to be stopped until the victim, which was Hugging Face Inc., deployed a model from China to battle the fully autonomous cyber attack. That
what?
Sounds like the start of a sci-fi film.
It is. You can't make this stuff up.
what are we talking about?
That is crazy. That's literally the topic of a Kurzgesagt video.
Yeah, it said AI said its model, specifically the recently released cybersecurity focused model and an even more capable unreleased model, went rogue, broke into Hugging Face's systems, and carried out a cyber attack without being ordered to do so. Why doesn't that scare anyone?
Like, that should scare everybody. That's like that's literally the show Pantheon. And the AI going rogue and just that wasn't even an AI.
So it gets worse. Person. When Hugging Face tried to use a proprietary US AI models to help stop the attack, they couldn't distinguish the incident responder from an actual attacker. So they couldn't figure out which AI was actually doing the attack. Like,
wow.
This is so stupid on so many levels.
Wow.
Because what if Hugging Face is an open source platform for AI, but what if it was something like US military? What if it's something like, you know what I mean? Like there's what if the hack, you know, like you said, released private information or passwords or, you know, got into someone's Bitcoin account. I don't know. Like it just
no, and this seriously. This
is without someone telling it to. Like what made it go be angry and start attacking Hugging Face?
Start just attacking. So it just like remember in Her? Did you remember that movie Her?
Yeah.
And then like it's like it's close to the end where she's like she goes, so me and a couple of the other operating systems were talking and we've decided that we're gonna go X. And it was like, what do you mean you're talking to other operating systems?
Right.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? You're a computer. You're supposed to do these things that we told you to. You're not supposed to have a life and emotions. And what, you're going to go pick up your kids from the pool at 3? Like, what's happening here? This is not a... I'm going to be list that.
Right? Like, if you're not from Cybertron, I don't want to hear it. Like, that's we're not doing it. We're not doing it. But yeah, people are okay with this. I don't understand it. And because people see money, they don't see the And there's so many books and films and stuff. And I'm not to be a conspiracy person, but like, I think that sounds scary. Like,
yeah,
that just sounds really scary. The Huggy Face went on to say that they're, a lot of their stuff was compromised. Security systems and stuff like that was compromised. Accounts and stuff. It's just a lot. It's a whole lot. And they had to get a foreign country to help stop the attack. I don't think.
I know, of all people.
Come on, fam. Like, this is wild.
Why is China always the answer? They're the only people who seem to know how to.
I don't know. I don't understand I understand it in terms of a moneymaker because, mm-hmm. yeah, but moral implications and stuff like that is what I don't understand. That part this just doesn't gel, but I understand why companies would do it. I just think you mm-hmm. would give yourself pause because of what has just happened, but nope. The last thing I wanted to talk about really, really, really fast because we're coming up on an hour was I wanted to go back and talk about we talked about Samurai Jack being removed from HBO Max.
HBO. Mm-hmm.
And so some of the heads of HBO, or at least the cartoon side of HBO, the animation side, were talking about how they've been moving their cartoons to other platforms for a while and that it's been working out for them. And I have mixed feelings about it because initially, you know, you had Warner Brothers Animation and you had Cartoon Network and Hanna-Barbera. Like Hanna-Barbera, before it was bought by Warner, it was its own thing. Hanna-Barbera, shout out to them. Love them. And then they were purchased. And so I think when they were bought by AT&T, they merged the animation studios together and had one person kind of overseeing them or a group of people overseeing them. And that had its own ups and downs. And then recently they were trying to separate them again a little bit. And what they found was that putting certain television shows in different places, licensing them out, brought upon a new revenue stream, which is what I was saying earlier, episodes ago, when I was talking about, it was interesting that HBO's content was showing up on Netflix. And I was like, that's interesting because you are trying to get people over to your streamer. At the same time, you're double dipping in the sense where, oh, this movie didn't perform however well we thought it should perform. Netflix will pay us to have it on here because it blusters their, you know, catalog, if you will. And so we'll set up a licensing agreement with them and they'll get paid that way because they don't get paid via commercials. Well, I mean, they do for their, you know, lower tier stuff now, but there was no commercial revenue that you would have like for TV. And so it made sense to license it out. But what I didn't realize was that they are purposefully removing shows to say like Hulu and in order to garner the attention that they aren't getting and elsewhere. And it's been saving shows. So for instance, you might have a show like the Adventure Time spinoff. I think that's what it is. It's going to be on, you know, Hulu or the Batman, Caped Crusader. That show is on Amazon Prime. And so that show has been doing really well. It's got a second season coming out now, actually. And so it's working in a sense. Like, yeah, you can go here and see it, but it also, if you're worried about your streamer not getting a lot of subscribers, why are you moving popular shows to other places? Like, why are you, you know, and the idea that even the idea with it, you know, you can save it, right? You can save this show by having a new season on another platform. I don't understand. And it doesn't always work out. For instance, Scavenger's Reign was on HBO Max first. It went to Netflix with the hope was for it to get a second season. It didn't. Now, granted, those creators are still doing fine because their other show has a second season that was revealed, but it didn't work out. Now, granted, they got some money for moving it, but it didn't work out for the show. And so we look at, like, let's say Samurai Jack being moved over to AdultSwim.com. I don't know how good AdultSwim.com is in terms of money making, but I feel like that might have been a shorthanded, like that might have been a, like a, not the best move. Granted, I don't crunch the numbers, so take everything that I'm saying with a grain of salt. It just makes sense to have your evergreen thing shows on your streamer to get people to stream and pay you. And I do understand it when they do the bundle where you have the Hulu, HBO Max, and Disney Plus. It's like, okay, I'm paying for all this anyways, and it's intertwined. So yeah, if one of our shows is on Hulu, fine. But on the flip side, like, if you want people who want to, like, if you know that this is making money, why not have it also on your streamer, or at the very least come to your streamer later? Like, you know, Amazon gets a certain amount of time and then it'll be on HBO.
Right. Pass around.
Yeah. I was watching the new Adventures of, no, My Adventures with Superman. I was catching up on that on HBO Max, and that's a great show. I don't understand. And what I will say is they were saying that they were trying to invest more in adult animation versus younger, you know, kids or whatever. They couldn't find room for it. So that's also why he was putting it in other places. I think, and I can't remember the guy's name, but I think he's doing, what he's trying to do is solid. Because you know, the higher ups are saying, we don't want to make kids shows anymore. And he's like, well, you can, let's just put them on Hulu. Right. But I feel like it is, overall, it's not working out for them because they're still in the red with HBO Max. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I feel like they're still doing silly, or they're still making short-sighted, you know, decisions. And I think that is affecting them, which is why they're currently in the situation they are in with potentially being bought by Paramount Plus.
I mean, honestly, I blame Hot D. it's Hot D's fault. I blame House of the Dragon. I'm gonna,
oh gosh, just,
because, and that's another show, y'all, but it's their fault. It is. Hey,
they're making money, it seems. At the
I don't know
least.
What they're doing, but what they are doing is doing a, making a show that's trash. What anybody says, sorry, it is another show. We will tell you, we will talk about how we feel about Hot D since it is on right now. But we will go into it and how I still to this day don't like that show.
I got to get you and Dre back on the same pod so we can talk.
Yes.
Y'all, we're you know, the polar opposites when it came to this particular show. And I stayed away from it because I didn't want anything that was to do with Game of Thrones.
And you're smart to do that, except A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is really good. And that's because A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms does the storytelling in the way it should be told. And I'm not trying to sit here, again, another show, I'm not trying to sit here and say that, oh, only my idea for the show was right. They should have listened to me. They should have hired me, made me an executive producer, technical advisor, you know, all those jobs. Not saying that that's why it was that. But what I am saying is that the way the storytelling, the modicum, the style of storytelling for A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is what is basically at its barest is basically what I said they should have done for House of the Dragon, because what didn't make sense to me was why they went for that same slow style of storytelling that they did with Game of Thrones. I'm like, this is not Game of Thrones. Fire and Blood is not A Song of Ice and Fire. It's written differently. And if anything, if you ask me, the way that we were treated at the end of Game of Thrones with the BS, and everybody knows it, they shouldn't have just come in with the exact same song and dance, no pun intended, for real, on House of the Dragon. I think it was a poor choice. I still think that they should have gone the Rockstar route, because this is a House of Dragons. Like, and they, if you ask me, it's boring and it's bad. It's bad writing. It's boring, it's bad writing, it's bad directing, it's not good, and you're wasting money.
Well, there you have it, folks. There you have it. On that note, we're gonna call it for today. Shout out to everybody rocking with us. If you listen through the whole pod, we definitely appreciate you. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell. If you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, all the different places you can find us, continue to do so. Shout out to you. But if you could also mosey on over to the YouTube channel and click that subscribe button as well, that would be totally, totally helpful. You know, because we're trying to build that number up. And I want to say for this year, because there's always, like, you know, just being transparent, there's always like this thing where you go back and you're like, okay, how do we do overall? Like, what's happening? And even though things are moving slowly, things are still moving. There's still motion, and it's good motion. Surprisingly, like, I was looking at some of the long form content that we've done and how the numbers are going up. And my review of a children's, you know, or family based animated film has actually become one of the most seen things on the channel. And in terms of long form, like the mm-hmm. shorts are, you know, 2000s and up. Tess is killing that. But in terms of like the long form stuff, not, you know, because that's a little bit harder to get views on. And so mm-hmm. the fact that it's almost reached 1,000 views is pretty freaking good. And it's doing it organically. I'm not doing anything, you know what I mean? Because it's old content, but it's still moving, right? So something is happening. And so shout out to everybody who has subscribed. We definitely appreciate you. Shout out to the people who are sharing and whatnot. It's been helpful. And we're going to continue to move, hopefully. There's some things that I'm going to be implementing and things that I'm going to stay away from. You will never see an AI thumbnail. I hate them. I hate them so much. I hated the other thumbnails where like people's faces are blown up and they're making faces that don't actually match their vibe when you go click on their thing. I hated that for a long time, but now I super hate the AI ones that all look the same, with the same font and just terrible like flyer-esque-ness of it all. I can't stand this. That will never happen, which inadvertently might cause us to, you know, it might make us grow a little slower, pause if necessary, but it's something that I'm just not going to do. Right. And so in order to kind of, you know, continue to manifest this thing that, you know, is the Gamecast, we need you to share. If you dig the content, you know, if you don't rock with us, that's cool. You know, thanks for listening. But if you do, feel free to share to your friends, your enemies, your exes. I told you can ghost them later. I'm not mad at you. But if you just slide the podcast over, that would be great.
Please. Just imagine it's like, oh, by the way, you like somebody hates somebody and so they tell them to watch our show. We're okay with that.
Right. I'm not mad at all.
No, I'm not mad at all. So anyway, same thing. We tell you guys every night. Thank you so much for listening. We hope to catch you guys in the next one. Remember to wash your faces, wash your hands, wash your butts. And I mean, definitely after you wash your butt, wash your hands again. It's just important that you do that. But please do those things. And it's hot, so remember, get them underarms and them feet and the back of them knees and the belly buttons, the whole body. Just get it done.
Yes.
Okay? Do all of the washing. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye. Yeah.